The meeting to order. Stephanie, can I please have a roll call?
Tom Moore. Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omoosagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
James Brandel.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Margaret White.
Here. Thank you, Stephanie. Is there any citizen input or public participation at this time? All right. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda, please? Okay, second. All in favor? Thank you. President's comments are next. I want to thank the staff for all of their hard work, and I want to thank the board members for diligently reviewing the grants. And some very tough decisions were made on some grants. And as I said last week, many sitting on this board have written grants, evaluated, or been the recipient of grants, and understand grant requirements. Please note, in order to be fair for all participating in grant and the grant recipients, the staff and board need to follow the board process. Contract requirements need to be addressed at deadlines. The staff is always open to help. You can always call our staff members for help, and that's important for all the agencies to know. So if you have questions, don't hesitate. They're always happy to help. It's unfair for us to change, it's unfair to all of you as participants to change the process and rules now, and thus the tough decisions. On the positive, we're looking at more supports to help with grant requirements and building agency capacity in the near future.
So we are working on a few ways. We understand that these rules can be challenging, but we don't think that we can really lower them. We worked on the rules last year quite a bit with the board. So it's time to be really, I think, a little more creative with the supports that we're able to give to agencies. If we're going to ask three agencies to register with the state, we really do need to find out how to do that. So I'm negotiating with a consultant who does grant writing and grant finding and should be able, what I think we want to start with just one of those 2 or 3 hour trainings at the library that we've been doing and then see if we need to expand on that to do individual support. But that's where I started. We'll just keep working on other ways that we can support the agencies. I think we'll be coming back to you all in July to ask about the UIC evaluation project and whether and how big to make that if we continue it for the next year. That's been of value to some of the organizations. And we also are always sort of looking at the application process and the timeline and looking for ways to improve it. I feel like this year the board still didn't really have enough time to support all the discussion that you might want to have. So we're trying to figure out how to fix it, how to get a little bit closer to what is called for. So anyway.
Thank you, Lynn. The next is new business and allocations decisions. It's 3 to 32 in your booklet. And if you would go to any comments on the decisions. All right, if you would please go to page 31. And we'll start with the decision section. Can I have a motion to approve the funding as recommended? Susan? All right, and Judy, thank you. All in favor, or actually approved? You move to approve it.
I move to approve the CCMHB funding as recommended for behavioral health supports for people with justice system involvement, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum.
I need a second again from Judy. All right, sorry. Got to follow the rules. So anyway, all in favor? We do a discussion first. Okay. Discussion? Comments? Okay. I need to learn all. That's why I have Kyle here. It's like, all right. New at this. Okay. We have one item of discussion.
So last week there was some discussion about kind of filling in the gaps in the first followers application form, and that has been James Kilgore and Chris Wilson have been working on that in the last few days. Chris has solved the surplus to his satisfaction. I think it's just a question now of revising all the forms. So we were satisfied and wanted to make sure that you know that, since that was the request last week.
Any other comments or concerns? Okay, Stephanie, can you roll call, please?
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Brandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
The next is I need a motion on the innovative practices and access to health services. Yeah.
I move to approve Champaign County Mental Health Board funding as recommended for innovative practices and access to behavioral health services, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum.
Any comments, concerns? Stephanie, can we have a roll call, please?
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Brandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Next is the motion for the system of care. Can I have someone, or does somebody want to do that motion, please? Okay, comments, concerns? All right, Stephanie, roll call, please.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
James Brandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
All right, the next item is on the collaboration with CCDDB. Somebody want to bring up that motion, please?
I move to approve CCMHB funding as recommended for collaboration with the CCDDB, the Board for Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum.
Elaine, second. Comments, concerns?
We should add that to this as the next decision.
Does it affect my decision?
No, because okay.
That is not a DD program.
Okay.
But
the DD grants.
Okay. Lynn has some comments.
Just one, that this morning the DD board agreed to fund the portion of the Head Start DD program that you're not paying for, or that you would not be paying for. So it was contingent on your decision. I just want to be clear that they said yes.
Okay, great. Any other comments for discussion? Okay, Stephanie.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Okay. I need a motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiations as specified in this memorandum. All right, Tom, do I have a second? Judy, second. Any discussion? All right, Stephanie?
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes. The next is a motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the special notification concerning PY20 awards section of this memorandum. Do I have a motion? Kyle?
I will second it.
Okay, second Jane. Comments?
Oh,
go ahead.
The special notifications, are those the contract amendments for Courage Connection, Rosecrans? Those are different. Those are not the ones that follow. Okay, thank you.
Stephanie?
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes. Next is the Courage Connection contract amendment. Lynn, do you want to brief?
When we're in the funding decisions, should we add a question about UCP?
Oh, okay. Okay, Lynn is going to talk about the UPC part.
Well, I think we don't have a motion included in this decision memo, and so that probably should have been there. We did some research. This started several years ago. For some reason, we stopped having a motion related to what we're recommending and don't fund. And so I think it's good form to have it, especially since last night the agency requested reconsideration of our recommendation. So I would recommend that you take up some kind of motion related to this request for funding, which is for $105,000. And then you can have the discussion, I think. Is that okay? It's listed as a recommendation, but we didn't actually create an opportunity for you to respond to the recommendation. And I think under the circumstances, we should.
It was listed as a recommendation to not fund.
Right.
So zero funding. So now, Kyle.
Lucy, at least from my opinion, I feel procedurally we did respond by not recommending funding for it.
Okay.
From the motion we just passed. What was the reasoning for that you had for doing the motion?
Well, I was just worried that not including a motion didn't give you all the opportunity to respond to our recommendation, but you're saying you already did, so we can move on.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, because there wasn't an amendment to add it to what was prepared, that's us.
Okay. Me too.
Okay.
Take a step back and restate it.
Okay. So we, in our decisions, recent decisions, a couple seconds ago, we decided not to fund UPC. And they came back, UCP, sorry, I'm having trouble with initials today. And they came back and asked for funding. And so Lynn was questioning if we should discuss it, but Kyle says procedurally.
Maybe my memory is wrong about this. I thought there was a partial withdrawal of funding.
No, they chose not to fund
This is.
I've lost track of it.
This is part of the decision.
Right, okay.
It's on page 30 of your packet.
And the recommendation was not to fund.
Okay. So that's what we have voted on.
Yeah, there was the only action that's been taken so far has been on those that were recommended for funding.
So you're now asking us to recommend funding?
No.
Nope.
Susan, can I clarify? In the past, just looking at our former decisions over the prior 4 years, typically we have not funded one or two requests. I think there was 1 year where there were three requests. There have been some years in which we fund everything, but it's not unusual for us to decide or the staff to recommend that an item not be funded. And when that is the recommendation, it's not included in the tiers that we vote on as a group. Now, one can always pull out an item or an application from the tiers and discuss it. That usually happens when we're going through the decision section. Does that help clarify, Julian?
I just want to make sure we were covering your, like that we, you know, that we as staff are not making the decision for you. Basically, that was my interest. I don't have anything to add to, if you want to respond to this request, which we received late last night, that's different. I just didn't, I was concerned that we failed to take a step that we needed to take, but if you're satisfied that that was.
Tom?
Well, my reading of that, which I may be incorrect about, which is partly why I'm confused, would be we don't have to do anything.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you, Julian. Okay, the next is the Courage Connection contract. Mark, can you explain, please?
Well, last week I presented a request that we had received from Courage Connection to redirect funds that the Mental Health Board had been paying under the contract, under our existing contract, to support three positions. Those positions were not filled by the agency, but we were continuing to make our payments in good faith. They had alluded to, I think it was back in January, that they were looking at a situation of excess revenue. No further communication occurred for some time. I broached the subject with them in March. They affirmed that, yes, they would have excess revenue and that these positions had not been filled, and followed up with, and I kind of outlined, this is what you need to do. Submit a request. They eventually submitted a request and to redirect the funds for the three vacant positions to support some other existing staff within the agency. Those are existing positions funded with a source of funds that they were asking us to use our money to basically support positions that weren't part of their original contract with us and are not part of their proposal starting July 1st. So we had the discussion last week, or at least the information was presented, briefly discussed. The next morning, I took a phone call from the board president informing me it was their intention to withdraw the request to redirect the funds. I had, at that point, already prepared a decision memo reiterating the background that I had provided as part of the briefing memo for last week. She said, Ms. Romine said she would follow up with an email. I said, that's important. I will need that. And then reworked the decision memo to reflect that they had withdrawn their request, and I've included a copy of that email that she sent in the packet. The amendment itself is for the return of the excess revenue that's accrued under the contract for three positions that were funded but not filled, and that money would be returned to the board. And because a portion of that would be, recaptured, or I'm not sure the exact word, through not making the final payment under our contract. We have a May-June payment that's due. So a portion of those funds would be basically not paid out, reducing the excess revenue, and then there would be an additional $23,000. It's a total of $44,700 that in excess revenue. About $21,000 of that would come back through not making the final payment under the contract, and then you have an additional $23,000 that they would be required to actually return to the board. We have a similar situation with Rosecrans. That's a second action item that you'll be asked to take. They had a quarter-time position that was not filled, they did not submit any request to redirect the funds or anything like that. They've acknowledged that they owe that money back to the board. So you have Courage Connection has excess revenue over the term of the contract of $44,000. $44,700 for three unfilled positions, and the money's owed back to the board, and they originally proposed to ask the board for permission to redirect those funds to other purposes, to support other staff, and then withdrew that request. And so you're being asked today to approve an amendment to basically require them to return those funds. So that's a long way around to they have excess revenue due to the board, and we're looking for approval by the board to pursue the amendment and return the funds.
Thank you, Mark. On page 33, the decision section for Courage Connection contract amendment, do I have that motion?
I move to reduce the maximum amount payable under the Courage Connection contract number 19020 by $44,701 from $127,000 to $82,299.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And discussion? Susan?
I just wanted to comment that this is exactly how we would like to do business, and I appreciate that there's a decision memo, but that I would always anticipate and know that you have in the past consulted with agencies when they have not expended all their funds, and that you have routinely, towards the end of the year, had them return funds. So this is consistent with the very careful review conducted by staff members, and it is so appreciated because we are not letting money go away or go awry. you're being very good stewards of the mental health board's funds and the tax levy funds, or however however it is that we get them. And I appreciate the collaboration between the staff and the agencies that were recipients for being very honest and forthcoming with the return of dollars.
Thank you.
My soapbox speech. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, Stephanie?
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Jillian Rappaport?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Okay, and the next amendment that Mark discussed, it's with Rosecrans. It's on page 35. Do I have someone who will make that motion?
I move to reduce the maximum amount payable under the Rosecrans Criminal Justice PSC contract by $16,544 from $338,643 to $322,099.
Stephanie, your roll call, please.
Tom Moore.
Wait a minute. Julian, sorry.
Is this a summary page that we have with the dollars that we're allocating? Yeah, is this number then for the program we're now discussing incorrect?
What you have is a tier sheet, and this is a summary of the decision memo.
Right.
For the allocations for 2020. It's kind of a cheat sheet that lays it all out on one page. And the $304,000 for the criminal justice, the Rosecrans program, criminal justice, problem-solving court contract, they requested $304,000 and were recommending that, and you approved $304,000. Last year, they received $338,000. So they've actually reduced their request from 2019 to 2020.
I see. Okay.
So thank you.
Thanks, Julian. Stephanie?
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Margaret White?
So we're just talking about our financial condition, and that is what you said is true. We have a really good relationship with the agencies around returning funds that haven't been used. But when it's because, if it's because it wasn't needed, yay. But if it's because they were not able to fill a position, and so people went without services that really were needed, I don't celebrate that. For the last several years, that's been the situation. At the end of the year, we've received money back mostly related to positions that couldn't be filled, not because the services weren't needed. So it put the Mental Health Board in an interesting position right now, where you have enough fund balance your fund balance meets the recommended amount of 6 months of operating cost plus a little bit. So this year we paid off the CILAs, bringing that fund balance down. Now you have still just a little bit more than 6 months and the opportunity to be the hero and bail the DD board out of a situation which is not their fault, but if they had 6 months available operating costs, they wouldn't have this problem. So the problem is not it's not anyone, it's not the boards, it's not staff, it's not county, it's situations outside of our control. It's two large entities filing very late tax exemption requests at the very last minute. It's then our request being queued up at the Department of Revenue Services. And so lots of counties got their multiplier later than expected, later than they needed. So that getting the multiplier late caused the tax bills to go out late. There's also been a lot of scrutiny around how the taxes are, how the funds are collected. So the county clerk's office was not able to get the tax bills out in the fashion that they have in the past. This could happen again next year. So I'm not willing to call this a one-time only. I'm willing to call this a really great reason to have sufficient fund balance. But anyway, both of your funds reach their lowest point right before the first revenue is collected. This year, it will come at the end of June rather than the end of May. So the Mental Health Board will be able to pay off all of its obligations, which are, I think, like 89% of it is to agencies. I mean, we're close to that. And so they've already done the work. We can't not pay them. It would be terrible to pay them late. We already hold the May payment and combine it with June in order to get through this kind of thin season. So the Mental Health Board agencies will be fine, but the DD Board is looking at a projected shortfall of maybe $55,000. And that has to do with whether we can unpause some payments, which are paused right now related to contract compliance. So in order for them to make all of their payments, what we're asking is that you authorize us to make an interfund transfer, which is essentially a loan, right before those payments are due, which will be early June. And then they'll transfer the like amount back to you right after the first revenue is deposited. So this is a worst case scenario, but I think we need to prepare for it in the future. If you all decide not to do this, our fallback position is we will just hold, we'll find out from the agencies if anybody can afford to wait for a payment and try to manage it that way. So anyway, they agreed to receive this if you agree to give it.
Okay, on page 37 is the decision section. May I have a motion? Elaine?
I move to authorize an interfund transfer from the CCMHB fund to the CCDDB fund in the event that the delayed tax distribution results in shortfall in the CCDDB fund in an amount sufficient to cover that shortfall and not to exceed $100,000. If this interfund transfer is made, an equal amount will be transferred from the CCDDB fund to the CCMHB fund after the tax distribution occurs.
Kyle seconded. Comments or discussion?
So this is no more than just floating them alone until they get...
Susan?
I just think it makes common sense. We work together. We collaborate on a number of initiatives, and we all know what it was like when the state didn't pass its budget for 2 years. So why do that to ourselves?
Julian?
So I have no objection at all. It makes perfect sense to me, too. I'm just curious as to why the DD board doesn't also carry sufficient funds, which I think is just good practice, isn't it?
Well, interesting that you should ask. And I wish we had hours and hours, because I'm trying really hard to learn about the rules around taxes, and it's really... But the DD board, by statute, cannot... They've hit their cap, and you have not. So your cap under statute is 15 cents. I don't know what this means. But and theirs is 10 cents. So they've reached the cap. And there are, you know, there's been this very close look at the tax funds this year by county staff, and I think they're as lost as I am, except for maybe one person who really gets it. But it doesn't look like there's a lot of other sources of relief for the DD board. In addition, they only have two lines in their budget. It's just what they pay to you for, maybe they have another line. It's essentially what they pay to you as a portion of all the administrative services and program supports. And then it's what they put out to the agencies. And they have been in, the DD system is in a much greater state of despair and disrepair than the mental health system, and has been for about 10 years. And so they've been trying to put every penny they possibly can into services. So it's, they just have not held a greater fund balance because of that choice. So this morning they talked about what, you know, what to do next. And so we'll start working on that when we do the budget process. We've also never been at this point in the year, at least not since I've been here, knowing as little as we do about 2020 for our budgets. Like I have, this time last year I could have told you down to the penny what we're thinking we need to do, and I've got like nothing right now. So that's also related to lots and lots of changes that in the other departments of the county. So we'll start the budget process in the middle of June, and we'll take into account this. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Any other comments? Stephanie?
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Next is the agency information, public participation. Does anyone want to participate in this part? Okay, thanks. All right, old business approval of 4-7 and 4-29, or 24 minutes. Action is request. Okay, Kyle, second. Tom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. The next, Lynn, please, if you can report on this. You gave us part of it, but the CCDD board.
They met this morning and voted on agency allocations and talked about this budget issue and voted to allow you to lend them money and pay it back as soon as possible. So they're you're roughly at the same place in the allocation cycle. There's not. That was really the most of what we did this morning. So.
Lynn, did they fund all of their agency requests?
They deferred one. They agreed to the sharing, and then the one strategy that'll help us with the. With this budget problem around May and June is fee-for-service contracting, because we pay out more in this side of the year than we would in the spring. So there are two or three contracts there, and then the deferred one would be fee-for-service if they choose to fund it. So those are four contracts which will help them by fee-for-service structure spend less at this time of the year next year.
Did a little reversal there. Executive Director's report.
I feel like I've said
enough. Okay, got to follow it. All right. There's a staff report from Chris Wilson, and all other staff reports were deferred. I think they were a little busy. Board-to-board reports. Anybody have any comments for board-to-board reports? Been in meetings. The financial report, pages 48 to 63, there's an expenditure list. Does anybody have any questions about the expenditures? All right. Action is requested to approve the expenditures. Can I have a motion, please?
I move to approve the expenditures that are listed on pages 49 through 63.
Do you have a second? Judy, second. Comments, discussion?
I was surprised by the number of items that were identified as Disability Expo. It was a wonderful expo. I think that the people who put it on did a great job, but there certainly are a lot of payments that come with the Disability Expo, And I didn't add them up, but I assume that staff are keeping track of how much money each year they're spending on the Disability Expo. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, do I have a motion to approve? Right?
Oh, okay.
All right. Do we need a vote, roll call on this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Board announcements. Tom?
This is not an announcement. This is a request, so to say. Now that we're finished with this award process, and it's taken, what, April, May, and June, I would
still
like...
May.
I'd like for us to think, to have a time somewhere in the future where we think about it. I found it was the word arduous. Is that a, Stephanie, is that a right word? Arduous. And not particularly rewarding to do that. And the last thing that we did with the question and answers, I found that to be difficult to figure out why we're doing it. Because it doesn't necessarily relate to whether we're going to change recommendations or anything for the program. So I'd like for us to think more through how do we want to do this whole process. And if we were voting today, I would take that section out, but we're not voting today. So I'd like to put on the agenda a discussion of our process here.
Comments? Susan?
I agree with Tom. It does take a lot of work. One of the things, though, I think that the board has benefited from is that we have a greater sense of what it is that we're funding and maybe where the gaps are so that we can know where we may need to be going in the future. I was a little concerned about the Q&A myself because the responses were, I think this was the May 15th packet that had the answers. Unfortunately, I wasn't here. I was out of town, so I couldn't see what resulted what came about as a result of having all of these pages of questions and answers. And sometimes I also couldn't relate the answers to what were initially our questions. So I think one of the issues is that there's not enough time between when we raise the questions in our reviews, which occurred on April 17th and 24th, and when we get the final response before May 15th. And that is a timing issue that I think is worthy of discussing. And I know that the staff worked very, very hard to try and pull this together. But I have to admit, I was almost relieved that I was gone on May 15th because some of the responses just went far beyond what our questions were. And some of the responses didn't truly answer directly some of the questions we raised. And initially, and I'm not criticizing staff at all for putting this together. There was only time to put the responses together with the questions. But I think the initial reason for us to use our discussions in April to get questions in May before we made decisions was that if we were concerned that an item was not well thought out in a proposal or wasn't clearly articulated, we would have time to have the agency come back and articulate it. And it seemed to me that we needed almost another meeting between this May 15th and today to study what they said. And also maybe to call to task some of the responses that went above and beyond what we were asking for and, you know, didn't relate to the original proposal. So I agree with Tom that we need to continue to look at the process and to tighten it as much as we can. And I think that this Q&A part is a weak part of the process. I also think that staff have certainly improved our ability to read through material by summarizing the applications and giving them to us in April. It's not as much work as when we originally read all of the old applications that were not as focused. So you've done a great job of focusing the applications and summarizing them, but perhaps there's a need for additional support to get that done swiftly, because I know that the staff does most of it, and at one point in the past you also had consultants that helped with that process. You're dealing with 60 proposals in a very short time period. So I would agree with Tom that sometime this summer we should just have a study session that's really a problem solving between staff and board.
So we have a lot of ideas about how to, because some of you have shared these impressions, and we also, I think what you just said has been true all 3 years, that there's not enough time to deal with the questions and answers. So we have lots of ideas, and we also have established a schedule for you for the next full year without talking to you about any of our ideas or yours. So I think if we could have this conversation in the next couple months, it would be really appropriate, and then we could change the schedule to meet the needs, or to meet the needs of a new process. I really hate to post a schedule that then we don't stay close to. So.
Tom?
My thought is that we should think about this ahead of time, because I don't want to change the process while we're doing it.
Right.
That makes no sense to me. I just don't understand what the relationship of the question and answer was to the final decision. Like, I can't figure that out. And so in some cases, some of the agencies almost rewrote their, not the same thing that they submitted, but something different. And so, and it didn't make a difference
in the decision.
The so why go through all that work if we're going to end up the same place we were? So I think we just need to discuss what we're doing.
I agree.
Julian?
So, yeah, I'm agreeing with the conversation. Do we have a June meeting scheduled? There is a June meeting scheduled.
The June meeting and the July meeting are getting pretty full.
What?
A study session could be added. I could work on trying to add this within the context of what I've got. We have, we need to do budgets. We really do. And I need to give you enough time to really consider them fully. And we also have some policies that we need to revise. As the county has revised their policies, we need to keep pace with that. So it's like kind of, you know, it's kind of dry stuff, but I want to make sure you have enough time for that. Then we've also got some presentations. Like in June, it would be well to have a discussion with Cunningham about how to proceed. I think they want some input on a regular basis from board members. So that's to make time for that conversation. In July, I have hope to have a presentation for you about crisis services /center. That, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around that. We want to get caught up with that. So I can kind of move things around, but if you're open to another meeting, we can try to schedule a study session as well. I really appreciate this discussion, and I just want to make sure that we do set the process up correctly now. Okay.
Yeah, I did. My thoughts about the process is I have learned a lot from the process. But from the time that we approve these and we go through the year, you lose track of how the agencies are performing as to how they wrote their proposals. And I would just like a study session that is very simple, says, yes, this agency has met its obligations. They have changed this. They're not doing this. So that when we go to read through these applications, we know what has preceded the application and that this agency is following through. And it would help me a lot, because I question that all the time about how the programs are written and how they are carried out. Maybe that's the simple thing, but it's something to me. I would want it to be just not wordy, just common sense comments.
Oh, Elaine?
Just one comment. I hear what everybody's saying, but we've got to get these answers and ask these questions somewhere, you know, because I was alarmed to find information in some of these answers that hadn't come out any other way. And that was troubling to me that at that late date, you know, I was finding out something. And I go on websites and look at, you know, the public face and the agencies and all of that. So I do think that maybe agencies also need to have guidelines for answering. I don't know if you gave them, but there was such a disparity in the way they interpreted how they were going to answer, and almost taking advantage of an opportunity to, as you say, kind of resubmit. So I'm glad that this has been brought up.
I was thinking one of the things we can do is, as the readers who's assigned that grant could ask the questions immediately then as we're reading them, and we would have the information but have the guidelines. Because I do agree with Judy, as you learn so much more mm-hmm. about the agencies when you do the readings. But shall we...
The simplest,
session.
Most basic solution to that is to go back to the practice of asking the agencies to answer the questions in person at the meeting, so that you as the chairperson can control how much time and the breadth of the answer. But the way to manage that would be, we can't have you doing that for 41 programs. So we have to reduce the number of discussions that you have, because I don't think you can add more meetings during the spring. But in order to get to go back to that, where you can have control over the answer, and then also if somebody else has a question that's related to it and you have time, you can do that. I think you could handle maybe 10 programs per meeting that way, not 41. So
I think this is part of what we need to do during the study session, not now.
That's what I was just going to say. So study session, we don't have a meeting in August. So does anybody have a preference for, do we want to have a meeting in August and have a study session, or do you want to have a study session in June or July? Is any preference for months?
I vote for not July because I won't be here.
Okay.
I think I'm gone in August. So, I mean, it could even be in the fall when we're...
Well, we sort of... The process starts in the fall. We can do that. We can do that. I mean, I feel like we know... We have some ideas that could solve these problems.
Why don't you just set up a study session and let's see who can come.
All right, I'll have you set that up. All right.
Then my question was... The answer should relate to the recommendations.
Right.
But however we do that, I don't care how we do it. I don't want to repeat this. But they should have some relationship to what's the final thing. And if they can't do that, then I don't care what the process is. But I don't want to do it.
I think we've been in a position where we make a promise to the agency that we will evaluate the application. So if we're then evaluating answers that are submitted subsequently,
I don't follow. Then what's the point of asking the question?
Well, because we have to decide as board members, and
we need information that maybe staff already has, and they don't know what you know. I have particular things that come up when I read these, and I need to know those.
So things. I think if we go ahead and have a study, I think discussions now to be thinking about it, and we'll have a study session because they have a lot of ideas, and so I'll just ask the staff to pick some dates for a study session and send those out and see when people can come. Julian?
Okay. I'm not exactly sure what we just decided, but we're going to have a study session. I understand that. What left me dissatisfied was that I could not figure out the relationship between our conversation, the questions, and the ultimate decision in terms of allocation of funds.
I think that's what Tom said, I said, and you said, and that's why we need a study session.
I just want to be clear, that's the issue, right? We want to see some sort of how they're connected. It's a little mysterious at the moment. Even though it's not intended to be mysterious, I realize that. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so I'm going to have Lynn send out some dates for study sessions and see when it will work. Our next meeting is June 19th, and let's adjourn. Maybe like